today. We'd love to show you how you can know that. You can know 100% sure heaven's your home, and because you have a God in heaven who's made a way. And it's not by us being good or living a good life, but it is clear and absolute. God promises that through Jesus Christ. Acts 27, verse 21. Acts 27 and verse 21. But after a long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you, be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, for lo, God hath given to thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me." Let's go ahead and pray. We'll talk a little about be of good cheer, don't fear, and believe God. Father, thank you for the word. Thank you for the music we can sing. Behold what manner and the solid rock of Jesus Christ, and got a mansion, and turn your eyes upon Jesus, Lord. There's so many things we have to sing about. Lord, I listen to the world's music as when I hear it and just say, that's a pathetic thing to sing about. You have nothing to sing about. And we have a new song in our heart, even praise to our God, rejoicing because we have you. And we thank you for that opportunity to serve you and please you and worship a God who's so good. And thank you that we've got so much hope and blessing. And this morning's message, Lord, is on hope and blessing and you working. And Lord, I pray today we learn not to fear. And I pray work in this message and speak to us in a great and powerful way. And thank you for the Word of God. And thank you for speaking to us in so many powerful ways and giving us the Word of God to help us with what we need. And to speak to us and answer our questions and prepare us for this week. And Lord, we learned last week about divine appointments and your preparation. Lord, I pray that you prepared this message for us today and that it would prepare us for this week, as you're a God who knows the future and we don't. Please help, bless, and speak. May your spirit be in charge and speak into every heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul was a prisoner on a boat. He was had been arrested. And he had been through a lot of troubles and beatings and in jail. And now they're taking him away eventually to Rome, which is pretty far away from where he started. And he was sailing in the Mediterranean Ocean there and came to a place called the Fair Havens, and supposed to be a fairly safe place. And he said, "I perceive that something bad's going to happen here. We shouldn't leave this docking. We shouldn't leave the shore." And they didn't listen to him, and they listened to the ship's master. And that would seem logical, except for he was a man of God, and men of God, sometimes God speaks to him. And God spoke to him and said, we shouldn't go out. Paul was a prisoner on the boat, and now they're in the middle of a storm because they didn't listen to him, a big storm. And they're in big trouble. And in the middle of this big storm, here's Paul. Of course, being a prisoner in a storm is worse because either you're shackled up or they're gonna kill you so you don't swim to shore, and it's a bad situation. And Paul had no choice. He didn't ask to get in this boat, and then he told them, "Don't leave. It's bad." And so it went against what he wanted. It wasn't his choice, and yet here he was in the middle of this very intense storm, and he perceived a problem and he tried to stop it. Verse 10. And he said unto them, "Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with much hurt and much damage, not only to the lading or the cargo of the ship, but also of our lives." And then he goes forward, verse 21. But after a long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss." And so he didn't ask to be in this problem. Sometimes people and us, by our choices, we get ourselves in problems. I think all of us have had times where we know why we're in the problem. We messed up, and that's human. That's part of life, and you mess things up. But I want to say, sometimes you're in the storms that you didn't want, and sometimes you knew it was coming, and you try to stop it, and you did all you can do, but it didn't make any difference. And the storm came anyway, and that's where Paul was. He's on this. He said, guys, I told you not to do this. Now, what we might do, because sometimes we get bitter and we like to blame others, is we would focus our attention on the people who didn't listen to you. You ever had people who can't get over, I told you so? And that becomes the whole focus instead of solving the problem? Oh, man, those people drive you crazy. I told you that. I told you that. You know, your house is burning down and you know, let's get everything out. Let's get the kids out. Let's put it out. No, I told you not to put that candle there. I told you. And I mean, just stop. Okay. And quit looking at people next to you. And we do, I told you so, and I told you so, and I told you so. And he says, listen, guys, I told you not to do this. But then he says it's going to be okay. Because I find some people, they can't get past their initial anger because somebody did something that messed you up. And you just can't get over it. And I'll just tell you, if you can't quit thinking about them and how they messed you up, you won't get over it. People are going to mess you up in this life. People are going to put you in bad spots. And that's part of life. People will put you, their mistake sometimes becomes your burden. And that happens in life. However, if all you can do is focus on them and become bitter, then you will continue to fail in life and not fix things. And you won't become successful. You won't, you'll live in the past. You'll be looking backwards and walking off cliffs because you can't just move on. Somebody did something wrong. You've done things wrong. And you live in a sin-cursed world, bad things are going to happen. Say, you know what? They did something wrong, and I'm in trouble now. How do I fix this? Be a fixer, not a blamer. Be a fixer, not a blamer. Not somebody who has to, but they need to know how bad they hurt me. Okay, tell them, and then go fix the problem. And move on. You just cannot live that way. And Paul says, guys, you should have listened to me. However, we're going to be just fine. He didn't live there and sit there and there's nothing wrong with saying, listen, this happened because of this, but then he moved on. The big storm, it was so bad, they tossed everything off the boat. And, you know, a ship makes his money by hauling cargo, and the prisoners weren't a big part of the cargo. It was just a few people. And they had to throw everything overboard in this ship. They lost everything, verse 18. And we being exceedingly tossed to with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. That means they threw all the cargo off of it. After that, the ship still was going under, and they still couldn't control it in this big storm. It was just a terrible storm. So then they loosed the tackling of the ship, or the ropes and the sails and everything else. They said, we're just going to be blown around because we're going to go under if we don't throw this. They even threw the equipment off the ship. And that's when the last step before you're going to sink, because once the storm's gone, you have no way to control anything, but at least you might still be floating, and another boat might find you, or you might drift toward shore. But they even threw the tackling off the ship, and there they were. There was no sun for several days, verse 20, and neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us. And all hope that we should be saved was taken away. Well, that's pretty bad. They had no hope anymore that they would live. The storm was so long. The storm was so bad. Everything from the ship was lost, and they were just floating. And this, it was dark. They couldn't see anything. And I think that's how life sometimes comes. Storms come and trials come, and you can't see the light. If you see a light at the end of the tunnel, if you see the light at the end, sometimes there's a little bit of hope, but if you've lived long enough and been through the ups and downs of life, so you've had times where you didn't see any light at the end. You just take your next step and get up in the morning and go to work, and you don't know how things are going to work out. And I've been there, and that's where they were, and they did all their good sailing things they could do, and they tried everything, and boom, now they're saying there's no, all hope is lost. And that's one of the worst spots in life you ever get, where you have no hope. Where you don't see an answer, where you think it's always going to be dark and hopeless and the end. And the big storm is just looking like a long, slow ending. And sometimes in life, you're going to go through long, dark times. And this message isn't about just long, dark times at all. But I want to say you're going to face those things, and what you will do is give in to them and quit and become depressed and maybe medicate yourself into oblivion and entertain yourself into oblivion so you don't have to think anymore. Or you can keep your hope in God, keep your chin up, and keep on going when you don't see what to do. And eventually God will lead you out of it. But if you can do that, that takes a lot of strength. It's getting harder and harder in our culture because every time somebody gets real dark or really hard times, they're taught to escape it. And instead of burying it, throw it on your shoulder and carry it for a while. And it's going to be heavy. But God will give you the strength, no matter how heavy it is, to handle it. If you can decide, I don't have to escape, I can handle it. And that takes being courageous. And that's a little bit of the message. And Paul, suddenly in the middle of this dark, terrible, hopeless time where he's on the ship that he told him not to go out there in, now says these beautiful lines, verse 22, and he says, now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Cheer up, guys. Be happy. Boy, how did that go over? I told you so, and be happy. And that's what he said. And he said, be happy. Be of good cheer. Because you know what? God spoke to me last night, and it wasn't a boat full of Christians. It was Roman centurion guards taking him to jail, and boat masters and things like that. And by the way, I have never been in a boat in a big storm. Anybody here ever been in a big storm in a boat? Okay, it's I've been in airplanes that have hit some turbulence. Actually, that's kind of fun, actually. But you don't like that as much. You're a pilot. You don't like that. But I think it's kind of fun. It's funner in the back, I guess. I don't know. But I remember I went to an IMAX theater to a Coast Guard boat. It wasn't a very big boat that used to. They would go out in the big waves. And it showed this thing in the big waves and just, and it was coming airborne. And I was in the IMAX, the big theater. It was in Chicago with a big round dome. The whole ceiling was a screen and the sound. And I thought, that's pretty freaky. Boy, you don't feel like you can even push the brakes or anything. There's nothing you can do. You're just, the boat just being thrown. And here's a scary thing in the middle of this. He says, be of good cheer. For God told me, none of us are going to die. Boat, it's lost. You know, it's funny. Most people are so possessive of possessions, they don't understand how valuable life is. But then you hear somebody and you think they're lying, but they're not. They get everybody out of the house and their house is a total loss, and they say, I'm just glad everybody survived. But they thought somebody was going to die. And you realize that life's a lot more important than stuff. And life is way important than stuff, more important than stuff. We cling to stuff way too much. And he says, we're going to lose a ship, but we're all going to be just fine, but we're going to be thrown in an island eventually. But be of good cheer. It's going to be just fine. And we're going to be okay. There's a proclamation of courage here. Verse 22, and now I exhort you, be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. I believe God. It's going to be just fine. Proclamation of courage in the middle of the storm. He says that. Just a few thoughts. Number one, God has not given us a spirit of fear. Our memory verse, 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We are not supposed to live in fear, but we live in a fearful world. We live in a scary world full of scared people. And listen, people put on a brave face, but they're scared. And the world, to be honest, has a lot of things to be afraid of. There are a thousand things to worry about if you want to. And I'm not just talking, your life might be particularly scary right now. You might have something coming on, but if you just live on earth, if you know what's going on, there's things to worry about. We are on financially incredibly shaky ground. The whole planet is right now. And America is really in trouble financially. Our health is changing right now. And if you ever look at the statistics, not talking about much, our cancer rates are going way up. Autism's going through the ceiling. Our bodies are changing. Our allergies are changing. They've modified the food, and our bodies are not knowing what to do with the food. We are having diabetes things going up by catastrophic numbers. There's a lot of nutritional reasons for that. A lot of reasons for that. There's a lot of eating reasons for that. There's a lot of things. The Europe's in real trouble right now. The Middle East is always a big fuse going to dynamite with matches all around that are all lit. It's always like that. And you've got a crazy man, literally who's insane, who's trying to get nuclear arms right now in Iran. It's a scary place. I-5's scary. There's lots of scary things out there, and there's things to worry about. However, even in this storm, which is much more scary, he says, "Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer." I look at the world my kids will grow up in, if the Lord doesn't come back, which he probably will. I say that's kind of a scary place for my kids and grandkids to be adults in. However, we can be of good cheer because God's not given us a spirit of fear. Can I say? I know these things, and I read about them, and I pay attention, and I understand some things about finances and the deficit and the debt and the Federal Reserve and these things that are happening, and I know just how bad it is. And having known that and understand it, I'm not the least bit worried. You know why? But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God's never going to be poor. God's never going to be poor. I was not sitting here on election day going, "Oh, the right person gets elected, or we're never going to make it." Doesn't matter who's in office. God's in heaven. God can take care of us. And if we put God first, we're going to be just fine. God has not given us a spirit of fear, he says. We're not supposed to live in fear. We're not supposed to decide everything by fear. We're not supposed to be shaken in a corner. Hey, listen, you say it's dangerous out there. I've been in the most dangerous areas all over America and all over the world. I've been in them. I've been alone in them. I've been the wrong race, wrong color, wrong person, wrong dress, wrong everything in all those places. You know what? I had no reason to fear. God's bigger than any thug. And you can sit here and live in fear, but God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And God says, you don't need to live in fear. You don't need to worry about whether you're going to be safe, whether someone's going to break into your house. I lock your doors and put on your seatbelt and be all the things that are wise. You should do your part. Try to eat right. Take care of yourself. Do everything that's wise. Don't be foolish. Don't put yourself in danger. Don't do any of those things. Don't pull out a big wad of money in the middle of the hood. I understand that stuff. You don't do that stuff. You don't have a wad of money anyway. But don't be foolish. However, go around in life knowing that God's in charge and you don't need to live in fear. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We don't need to worry. God can take care of us. God can protect us. Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Do you believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." I think John R. Rice, a great evangelist, he got in an elevator. Another guy got in an elevator with him, took a gun, pointed at his stomach, and said, "Give me all your money or I'm going to blow your brains out." I don't know why he pointed at his stomach, but he did and said he's going to blow his brains out. And the criminals aren't very smart sometimes. And John R. Rice looked at the man and said, "Son, don't try to threaten me with heaven." Why do we need to be afraid? The worst thing that can happen to us is we die and go to heaven. It's the worst thing that can happen to us. We die and go to heaven. Isn't it great that we don't need to live in fear? D.L. Moody was on a boat, and the boat was having major problems in the storm, and everyone is scared, and they call for a big prayer meeting. And of all the crazy things, the great evangelist Dwight Moody doesn't go to the prayer meeting. And they went to him and said, "Mr. Moody, aren't you going to pray with us and pray that we'll make it safe?" He says, "You know what? I have a sister in heaven, and I have a sister in Chicago, and I don't care which one I meet tonight." He says, "I'm not worried. God can keep this boat afloat. I'm going to heaven either way. Why should I worry?" God's not given us a spirit of fear. The economy can collapse, the government can collapse, and God didn't collapse. And you can still have a God who can supply your needs. You can go and get out there and drive into crazy traffic, and you can not even have all your airbags working. You can have Christmas trees and lights flashing, and you don't know what's going to work on your car and all those things, and yet you know that even nothing bad can happen to you if God doesn't allow it. If you're in God's will, be not afraid. You can hit the turbulence and not be worried. It worries me the pilot is worried about it, the turbulence though. And we can go and we can go anywhere we need to go. I mean, I have been so many places and people are so worried for me. I've been in the projects. Boy, I went to projects in Chicago in the 90s, and these places were the worst places in America. Some of these projects. I remember going in there, and everybody just stares at me. And I remember just nice people walking up and say, "You shouldn't be here." Tell me that. What am I worried about? I'm not worried about it. I can whoop any of them. But no, I'm not worried about it because I got a big God. Why should I go worry? Why should you worry? That person's after me, though. God can make their car not start or their car not get there. Knock your door, call the police, is the problem. But however, don't sit there trembling in life. What if this happens? What if this happens? Don't live your life wondering what ifs. Deal with life and go happily through life and do what you got to do. Someone once said, never take counsel of your fears. Why? Because God's not given us a spirit of fear. Before you decide to do something, should I do this? Never say, I'm afraid. God's not given us a spirit of fear. You know, you can be bold in life with that attitude. What do you want to do with your life? Go dream big. Believe big. Believe, find what you need to do and don't decide not to do it because of fear. You might not do it because of wisdom, but do not do things because of fear. You can do it if God wants you to do it. You can make it if God wants you to make it. You can do great things. You don't need to take counsel of your fears. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He wasn't worried in this storm. Number one, God had not given us a spirit of fear. Number two, do not fear because the Lord is with you. He says in verse 23, there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, stood by me. He was right there with him. There's so many verses I want to read. I'm going to read some verses out of Psalms and Isaiah. But when God's with you, you don't need to fear. Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He says, well, who should I worry about? I've got God on my side. Isaiah has some beautiful verses about God being with us, and we don't need to fear because the Lord is with us. Isaiah chapter 41, Isaiah 41 and verse 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Don't fear, I am with you. Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name, thou art mine. Isaiah 44 and verse 2. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and that formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. Do not fear, he says. Psalm 23 and verse 4, of course, famous passage. Psalm 23, we know well. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I want to say this verse here, and these verses are not saying you're not going to be in dangerous places. Paul was in a dangerous place. He says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That doesn't sound like a good place. Welcome, here's a sign, to the valley of the shadow of death. That's not where you're going to want to go on a big vacation. But he says, though I'm in the middle of my enemies, I'm not going to fear. I'm in the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Can I tell you, the demons and the devils and the darkness and the fear and all those things are not bigger than your God. It's funny how many things we cling to in security. There's so many things. Sometimes we're secure if we have some money in the bank. When you don't know history very well. Check the Great Depression, what happened to those who had money in the bank. Sometimes we're secure when we run to our mom and dad. And sometimes we're secure when we turn the lights back on and our fear goes away. I don't know why. If it's a giant monster chasing you, I don't think the light going on is going to stop him. But somehow we get secure. When you're a little kid, it's amazing. You put the blanket over your head and all of a sudden you're safe. I don't know that blanket is necessarily monster proof, but we feel like it. And all these little things that we try to cling to, and if this is only like this, or if this is only taken care of, or if only had this settled, or if I was only had this relationship fixed, or if only had this or this person or that, I want to say, it's not the lack of the storm that made Paul secure. What made Paul secure was God was with him, and God could keep the boat afloat. He wasn't worried because of those things. There's many things that can make us fear. The unknown makes us fear more than anything. You know, I find most people, they know what they're going to face, are okay. Not always, but probably 75% of the thing is just not knowing what you're going to face and not knowing how to battle. And sometimes you just seeing something that's something you don't know, it's not even scary. You just don't know what it is. I remember I was going out to pray one night in Indiana, and I was from the Northwest, and I was walking down the train tracks, and all of a sudden, I saw a whole pile of fireflies flying around. Who's seen fireflies before? I'd never seen them before. And all I see is little lights circling around. I didn't know what in the world it was. It scared me to death. I felt like an angel was about to poof out of it or something. I didn't know what was going to happen. It scared me to death. Then I figured out it was fireflies. And guess what? I was never afraid of them again. But the unknown scares us. And the unknown makes us afraid. And those things do it. Sometimes it's uncertainty. Sometimes it's health problems. Sometimes it's relationship problems or worries. When am I going to get married? Or what's going to happen at this? Or worries about your kids or troubles with people you love. Sometimes the devil tries to scare us from doing a great work. But whatever it is that comes to you and scares you, whatever your fear is, don't take counsel of it and say, what should I do? Fear is not God's leadership. God leads with peace. The devil leads with fear. And you go to, and you do, God has not given us that spirit of fear. I'm going to read out of the book of Luke a little bit, because people were scared of unknown things there. And God said, it's okay. I know you don't understand it. You don't know what's going to happen. And I'll tell you, just in my case, my life, I have things sometimes that scare me and worry me. And those things are almost always, if I know what I'm facing, nothing scares me. I mean, you could have 10 guys standing there, they're going to kill me. Okay, at least I know there's only 10 of them. I just need to know what I'm facing. In life, I don't worry much once I know I'm facing. With me, I can't stand when my feet are up in the air and I can't do something. I can't face something. I can face a lot. And so when something is there and it's just out there and there's nothing I can do about it, I'm just waiting to be able to react or do something. I don't mind doing anything. I just need to know what to do. That's what gets to me. Lord, just settle something. Give me something to face. Give me something tangible here. Make it so I understand the circumstances. I know what I need to do. But I don't always get that. Sometimes I just have to face something that's going to come eventually, and I can't do anything about it. And I've got to just live with that and learn to just have faith with the unknown. Zacharias had a very old wife, and he was very old, and all of a sudden, an angel says to him, verse 13 of Luke 1, but the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. A great thing's going to happen, and he's getting afraid. Why? Because when God's getting ready to do a great work, the devil begins to try to make you afraid, so you run from where God's going to bless. And when you run from where God's going to work and bless and the fear starts coming, God's not leading you by fear, but Satan's going to try to get you to run away from where God's going to do a great work. And that's when you need to be courageous. Luke chapter 1, verse 30. He just went to Zacharias, and then now he's going to Mary. Verse 30, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. Notice, you're getting ready to have the Son of God in you. Don't be afraid. Unknown, she's a virgin, yes. Don't be afraid. God's with you. And so sometimes we don't know what's going to happen, and God's going to do a great work, and immediately the devil starts making us afraid, and the Lord comes to those people, and he does it with these two people, he does it with Joshua, and he just comes to these people, and he says, do not be afraid, God's going to do a great work. In other words, when God's getting ready to, when the Lord's going to work and do something in your life, when you're getting ready to break through into freedom, when you're getting ready for your life to be fixed, fear is going to try to make you run from the blessing and God working. And then you've got to stand up and say, no, I'm not going to be afraid. God's not giving me the spirit of fear. I'm going to stay doing what I'm, it's obviously the devil does not want me to get here. So I'm not going to be afraid. And God's not given us that spirit of fear. Amen? God's not given us a spirit of fear. Isn't God bigger than your fears? If a child can jump into his mom's arm and think he's safe from whatever, can't you jump into the arms of God and know you're safe? What's your worry that could be bigger than God? Therefore, you do not take counsel of your fears. You make sure you're close to God and God's with you. All things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Fear now thou not, for I am with you. Your biggest thing in life is not to run away from your fears, but to draw near to God and then face your fears. Because when God's with you, I'm seeing a who knows the alarm code. Somebody's, that shouldn't be going off. All right, got it. I'm not afraid of it. Got it. There we go. So what can be bigger than God and your fears? And what fear can be bigger than God? Do not take counsel of your fears. Just relax. Say, okay, storm, but guys, God's told me he's with me and we're not gonna drown here. Last thing I want to say is believe God. And the fears will run away. Back to our text here, Book of Acts and chapter 27. Paul's in the middle of the storm here. God had told him, don't be afraid. He tells them, don't be afraid. And verse 25 is the verse of the chapter here. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. There goes again. That it shall be even as it was told me. Where is... I'm trying to think who knows the code. Nobody here knows the code, do they? Yes. Go try the one by the door there. I have no idea why that's going off. Didn't you used to run a fast 100 meter? Believe it or not, that guy used to be the fastest kid in Washington. He used to run a 10-7 100 yard dash, but not anymore. So, all right. Only at Open Door. All right, I'm going to have to go back this one back here, I think. All right, number three, we're just going to go on. We'll close the door here. We'll see if it goes off or if it doesn't. I don't know. Number three. Believe God and fears go away. Verse 25, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Now, here's the thing. God told him, said, this is the deal. I'm with you. It's going to be fine. But he had to believe God. See, God just saying it doesn't make you believe it. And God can say, you know what? I'm going to take care of this, or I'm going to work, or I'm in control. And you're going to say, I hear that, but I don't believe it. You got to believe God. And it comes down to, do you think that your fear, your worry, your stress, your whatever it is that comes to mind is bigger than God's ability to take care of it? Wherefore, sirs, I believe God. He believed God. I want to say this. You don't need to fear man. He says, the Lord is on my side. Whom shall I fear? You don't need to fear circumstances. God can provide all your needs. You don't even need to fear death. The Bible says this, and I'm going to read you a verse out of Hebrews. You don't even need to fear death. Hebrews in chapter 2, and last couple verses here, verse 14. For as much then as children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You don't have to fear death. And death, of anything in your entire life you're ever going to face, death is probably the scariest. And the Bible says they're in bondage their whole life because they fear death. Can I tell you, if you're born again, if you're going to heaven, death is just a graduation to a better place. I don't want to die. I like living, but I'm not afraid of death. And if you'll just serve the Lord and you'll just stay close to Him, God's not giving you the spirit of fear. You have a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And He says, you know what? We're in a storm, yes, but sirs, be of good cheer. And it wasn't long before they crashed on the shore. The ship fell apart and they got all the way to the island. And from that island, God did great works on that island where they're supposed to land. Because God was in control, the Lord could have stopped the storm. The Lord could have made the ship make it. The Lord could have changed the captain's mind, but God allowed them in the boat, and everything was lost. And yes, He could have blamed the people, and why didn't you listen to me? But He said, wait. Everyone, be happy. God's with us, and He told me we're going to make it. Be of good cheer. I believe God. Today, believe God more than your fears, more than your worries. Wherefore, sirs, I believe God, and it's going to be just fine because He's a big God. But the key is God was with him. And when you give your life to Christ and you first of all saved, accept Jesus as your Savior, and secondly, you're serving Him with your life is in His hands, you don't need to live in fear. What about this? What's going to happen? How's this going to work out? I don't know. Believe God and it will. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd help us to believe you, Lord. I pray that great things would happen, Lord, because we live by faith. We're in the boat in the storm, and in the middle of the storm, we can say, I believe God. Lord, we thank you that we see that we've not been given that spirit of fear. And how many times do you tell Joshua, be courageous. Be not afraid. Be courageous. And Lord, help us to do the same. We have 1,000 things. The devil, and sometimes our worry to somebody else might not seem big, but it's just weighing on us. And Lord, it's big to us, and you know that. I pray today that we would not take counsel of those fears, but today just draw closer to you and realize that though we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, we'll fear no evil. Thank you, Lord, that we can do this. Thank you, your word shows us many passages of people in the storm with the unknown saying, I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to live in fear. I believe God. May that be our choice today. Because you're bigger than any fear. You're bigger than any circumstance. You're bigger than any storm. Help us to trust you in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. It's God speaking.